Welcome to History in 6, a place where we sample history in 6-minute increments. I'm your host, Tima Lindell. Today, we're going to talk about the Pequot War. Time is short. Let's jump into it. Irritation with England whenever they exercised any authority whatsoever was an early American characteristic. The first printed work in America was An Oath of a Freeman by Stephen Dye, which attacked the oath of allegiance all settlers had to swear to England. Taxes were taken from the colonies, well, where they could get them, and actually some of that money actually made it back to England. But it was hard for the colonists to see what they got back for the money that was taken from them. England did nothing to defend outlying farms from Indian raids. Settlers were pretty much left to their own device. On the whole, though, settler and Indian relations were relatively good, and they had surprisingly little conflict in those early colonial times. But when there was conflict, it was the settlers who were usually to blame. But not always, as Indian tribes could be unpredictable and hostile under certain leaders. Relations between the colonists and Indians was also complicated by the perpetual warfare that occurred between the actual tribes themselves. All of this led up to the first major war in the colonies. You see, at this point in time, competition over fur trade and wampum production increased tensions between English colonists and the native tribes themselves. On one side, you had the Pequots, who were kind of sided with the Dutch, and the Mohegans, who sided with the English. They were squabbling over rights for wampum production and fur trade. Insert into this the English, who were also looking at fur trade, and tensions began to grow. Especially when an English trader, John Stone, was murdered by the Niantics, who were a tributary of the Pequots. John Stone was from the West Indies. He had been banished from Boston for malfeasance, including drunkenness, adultery, piracy. Not necessarily a nice guy, but he abducted two Niantic men, forcing them to show him the way up the Connecticut River so he could hunt for furs. But soon after, his crew and he were attacked and killed by a larger group of Niantics who were coming to defense of their fellow tribesmen. While Stone wasn't missed, the leaders of the colony felt compelled to protest the killing of an Englishman. The Pequots' refusal to surrender those responsible for Stone's death further angered the colonists. Then there was a major hurricane in 1635, which damaged everybody's harvest, leading to a food shortage in the area and increased competition for limited resources of the area. I mean, this was a major hurricane, likely a Category 4 or 5 hurricane when it was in the Atlantic, but it landed as a strong Category 3 hurricane with 125 mile per hour sustained winds, which would have had a huge storm surge on the East Coast with nearly 20 feet in Narragansett Bay, which would have been the most intense hurricane in New England history. Tensions continued to rise. And then there was the killing of another English trader, John Oldham, by Narragansett allies, which further inflamed the colonists. These Indians were discouraging settlers from trading with the Pequot. The murderers, meanwhile, escaped and were given sanctuary within the Pequot. News of Oldham's murder sparked outrage in the Massachusetts Bay Colony. Governor Vane sent John Endicott to attack Block Island because he mistakenly believed the Pequot were involved in the murder. Endicott's raid destroyed Niantic villages and crops, further inflaming tensions. Endicott demanded the surrender of those responsible for Stone and Oldham's deaths from the Pequots, but negotiations failed, and he burned another Pequot village. The Pequot were obviously angered by this and sought support from their tributary tribes to gather and respond. The Pequots, with what forces they had, besieged Fort Saybrook, killing any who wandered outside. They increased raids on Connecticut towns, killing settlers, taking captives. Connecticut towns raised a militia under Captain John Mason to directly attack the Pequots. They secured Mohegan and Narragansett support, bringing their total force to about 380 men. The plan involved a surprise attack on the Pequot fort near Mystic River. Colonial forces led by Mason and Underhill, along with their allies, launched a surprise attack upon the Pequot village at Mystic on May 26, 1637. They set fire to the village, trapping most of the Pequots inside. Hundreds of Pequots were killed, and with only a handful escaping or being taken prisoner. Even the Narragansett and Mohegan allies were disturbed by the brutality of the attack. The few remaining Pequots fled westward, but were pursued by the English and their allies. Many Pequots were captured or killed in further battles. The Mohawk tribe, who the Pequots sought refuge with, decided to kill the leader, Sassacus, and effectively ended the Pequot resistance. The war itself resulted in the near eradication of the Pequot tribe. Once the war was over, there were roughly 200 Pequots remaining. The Treaty of Hartford of 1638 divided the survivors between the Mohegans and Narragansetts. The treaty also outlawed the Pequot name and language. Any other Pequots were sold into slavery or forced to work in English households. The brutality of the war cowed Indian resistance and ushered in a period of relative peace for nearly four decades before the King's Philip's War. If you've enjoyed this episode, tell a friend about us. If you haven't already, subscribe to get future content. And as always, have a great day if you want to.